All right, let's go ahead and pray, and then we can get started. Father, we just thank you for today. Lord, we come with expectant, excited, glad hearts, knowing, Lord, that we haven't come just to check a box off, but we've come with the intent of receiving and participating in your word, in which the revelation and the light that you have for us, so that we can accomplish and do and fulfill all that you have for us to do in the earth. And we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so last week, you remember we talked about, or do you remember what we talked about before I recap it for you? We talked about, there's basically, we talked some about physical.
Yes, the benefits.
Physical benefits of being thankful and expressing gratitude. And we talked about how it impacts your physical body. We talked about business. We talked about your brain. And we talked about how you can be benevolent in your relationships, right? And then, so we've been talking about this about for 3 weeks. But today I'm pretty excited because I think, something that you really, really need. Okay?
Yeah.
Ready.
Come on.
One person. So, no, but when you see this, I think you'll see this. And when you see this, then you're going to realize, you know, that, oh, now I see why. Why that happened or why this didn't happen or what have you. So we discussed, like I said last week, about the expression of gratitude in our lives. And in the purest form, it's the acknowledgement. Remember, being grateful or thankful is the acknowledgement,
yes,
not just in your heart, but outwardly, that, yes, somebody has done something for you that they didn't have to do.
That's right.
That would benefit you.
Yeah.
You know, you could do something to somebody that, you know, like as a kid, maybe, you know, people are talking about bullying, right? But that's somebody doing something to you that they didn't have to do. You don't want to be grateful for that. Something negative. So gratitude is about something positive, or a positive impact in your life. So it's the expression, now this is really interesting. This is it's the expression of gratitude in this form is from a position of what? Humility. Acknowledging what somebody did is an expression. That gratitude is a form of humility.
Yeah.
Right? You're humble enough to say thank you. You're humble enough to receive. You're humble enough to recognize, hey, they didn't have to do that for me.
Right.
So the idea here is that as we acknowledge what others have done that's undeserved, it helps us to remember that we are indebted to express some form of kindness, even mildly in nature, to those we come in contact with each and every day. As we express gratitude what others have done for us, then it should enforce the idea that they didn't have to do that for me, so I can also do something for somebody else that I don't have to do. Not because I feel like they owe me, but because I want to, right? So when the Bible says, well, God so loved you, he forgave you of such a great debt, what should you do? Forgive those who, what, sinned against you. Because his grace was great towards you. You might be just giving somebody a little bit of grace because they didn't offend you to the level you offended God, right? So if we recognize, oh, we should be thankful to him, then we can also distribute that grace or that gratitude, that benevolence to others around us. Amen? All right, so here's a couple things. In its purest form, there's basically 3 points. Gratitude expressed in its purest form, are you ready? Comes from joy. Meaning, joy is a reflection of your gratitude.
Mm.
So now all the sad people go, uh-oh. Well, they've done a study. Here's what they said. Over 11,000 interviews, this is the scientific, you know, type thing. No one ever described themselves as a joyous person unless they were active in expressing gratitude. You know, sometimes you say, well, if I was joyful, then I'd have gratitude. But really, it goes the other way. As you display, you exhibit gratitude, joy comes. Because joy is a reflection of your gratitude. And you just think about it in your life, or I could think about it in my life. The more I was overall, the happier I was. You know, we just celebrated Thanksgiving. That means that's the time, you know, some people complain about their turkey. They didn't like this turkey. They didn't like that kind of meat. They didn't get a drumstick, whatever. They lost the wishbone game. How do you think the turkey feels, right? The turkey was sacrificed so you could have a little bit of Thanksgiving. So give some thanks, right? But practicing gratitude, it says, it invokes joy into your life. So there needs to be a tangible practice of gratitude being expressed. An example would be a giving of thanks over your food. Mm-hmm. That helps you to remember you should be what? Thankful. Mm-hmm. And here's three things about they said about joy. It's a decision to express, it's an expression of our gratitude. And happiness, and you know this, happiness relies on our happenings, or what's going on around us. We could be happy because of our situation or our circumstance. When that changes, then what happens? We can be sad because of our environment. But joy is a reflection of how gracious or your thankfulness from what's going on in your heart. Amen? You know, the Bible says this. It says that the joy of the Lord is your what?
Strength.
Strength. Another way you could say it is, my level of joy is a reflection of how humble I am, because humility will what? Give thanks. Humility will express gratitude. Gratitude then, as you're expressing your gratitude, reflects or builds up or demonstrates, gives you more joy. So, if you or I were really low in joy, what does that mean? Come on, you rocket scientists. What does that mean?
Yeah,
we need to be grateful.
We need to be grateful, and we need to give thanks to increase our joy level, which is tied to what? Our strength.
That's good.
Because when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, it's love. That's God. Number one, God is love, right? Joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, patience, temperance. It goes down the line. But if you have no joy, you have no strength. Which you would get your joy from expressing gratitude, which comes into and from God, who is what? Love. So if I'm going through something and I have no joy, and this is why the enemy's always after your joy. You think it's just because he don't like you, which he don't. But you fail to realize when you're, listen, this is, I mean, because I was doing some, you know, thinking deep. Do I look like a deep thinker? I don't know, but I am. If he can steal your joy, he's basically defeated you in the area of your gratitude. Mm-hmm. When you have low gratitude, if giving gratitude or giving thanks is an expression of humility, what is the lack of gratitude an expression of? Pride.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Right? It's
pride.
Yes. So not expressing, not being grateful, not expressing gratitude.
Yeah.
Being, like we read in 1 Timothy, ungrateful. Do you need to turn there? In the last days, it says that many will fall away. It'll be a dangerous time. They'll be unkind, blasphemous, proud, ungrateful. Because pride and ungratefulness go together. So if you're getting depressed, if I was getting depressed or sad, and I'm going through this, that means I haven't been giving thanks, which means I'm only thinking about me. I'm not thinking about anyone else. And then last week we looked at the scriptures that says it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord. Why? He's not just saying that because he wants to hear how great he is. Giving joy and giving, being joyful, and as a result of that, independent of your situation or circumstance, expressing your gratitude and thanksgiving. Right? When you're doing that, it's demonstrating humility, which is a protectant for you against the enemy.
That's good.
You ever look at, I don't look at you, I just look at me, or I think about things in my life, things that might have happened. How am I going to respond to this? This is key. You know, and if I realize joy is an expression of my gratitude, if I have low joy, and the joy of the Lord is your strength, then your gratitude level is very, very small. Near empty on your gratitude tank, right? You gotta pick it up some. Amen?
Amen.
All right, you guys don't look happy about that, but that's okay. All right, and one of the simple things we could do is just thank God for your food.
Yes.
You know, you think, well, it's not this. Well, it could be something a lot worse. Right?
Yeah.
It could be.
Right. Yeah.
So just be thankful. Yeah. All right, here's something, second thing, gratitude in action. How do we display our gratitude? One of the big things that what we talked about some is we can give back something. And by giving, we ensure that in return, we recognize the importance of giving back a portion of what you have received. This aspect of giving is a constant reminder that what you have received was given to you. You know, so sometimes, you know, we always talk about give, 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 and people say give till it hurts. Well, the Bible doesn't say give till it hurts. I mean, you might give till you go numb, and it still ain't going to benefit you if it's, you know, it's not done in love, right? But here it says that by giving, it's recognizing that I'm obligated to someone else or something else because I received this. When I didn't need to receive this. Somebody was kind towards me, so what can I be? I can be kind and give toward others. And so it keeps us in a place of expressing gratitude that we have something to give. Amen? It may not be as much as you want or what you want, but giving what you have is important to the Lord. Because what if you had nothing to give? I mean, like, you would give nothing because you're waiting to get something big before you gave something small. Then you'd have no rewards when you went to heaven. Because he couldn't reward no giving.
Yeah.
Amen. If he so loved the world that he gave, you can't say you love if you don't give, if you're like him. Right? Is it an expression of your gratitude? Someone says, you know, I love you and I care about you so much, and so I got you nothing for Christmas. You'd be like, what? I did nothing for you. My wife had me, you know, like the list of things to do, and I did none of them. She said, you didn't do anything. No, that's not true. I do love you. And I expressed it by doing nothing for you. Well, what's wrong with that? Because in our culture, we say, no, you got a problem. You're going to have a problem here. Okay, so we would recognize that gratitude is really in action. When it's in active form, we can see it doing something.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do we know we're being grateful or thankful is we actively do something.
Yes.
Especially for the Lord.
Mm.
Like, here's one. Tithes and offerings. Tony's going to do the tithes and offerings. But you think about it. You just think about it. He blessed you. He was gracious to you. And if, I'm not saying people in here, but just in general as a whole, if only 2 out of 10 people give tithes and offerings, 2 out of 10, 20% to the Lord. 2 out of 10 on the high side. We are much higher than that here.
Yeah.
But if only 2 out of 10, they can say, I love you, Lord, but what's he thinking? It's not just an act of obedience, it's a reflection of gratitude.
Yeah, yes.
Because he gave you something,
yeah.
So what does he expect? You just to show him how much you love him and honor him, and in humility, you give back to him. Because if we think, well, I couldn't afford to. Okay, let's answer that question. Why can't you afford to? There's a whole bunch of different reasons, but one I could think of is because, it's not because you love something more, you do this and that. No, it's maybe you're ungrateful for what you already have. So you go out and try to get something more to make yourself happy, which isn't joy. It's just based on what's happening or your circumstance around you. That's why a lot of people, you think, why are they so happy? Well, they're not really happy. They're joyful. Mm-hmm. It's different than being happy. Because if you look at, I have enough, I'm thankful for what I have, I know the Lord can always get me more, you're willing to give more to the Lord.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, competing against others and comparing yourself, you wouldn't want to do that. You want to what? I want to give to the Lord because I love Him. I'm not competing against what somebody else has. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, that was powerful. So, giving back, right? Here's a key thought. Grace. See, grace, when you look at God's grace, it's unmerited favor, right? His favor, what He gives you. His grace. You know what we said? His grace is enough for me. And you can do a two-step and jump and shout. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means what He gave you already is enough for you to do whatever He told you to do. But that requires you to do something with what He gave you to do. And then as you do something and you're thankful, you won't be sad. You'll rejoice. You'll be glad. You'll be joyful, because that's an expression of what? Your gratitude. You ever see like really sad, depressed Christians? And they're like, why don't you come to church with me? Because I don't want to be like you. Right? Amen. All right, well, keep going. Now look at this. Consider Mark 4, Mark chapter 4. And verse 16 and 17. Now look. This, I want to put this in here because it's key to us receiving from Him. I think this is key. This, if you're looking at gratitude and thankfulness, you and I, we have room to increase that in our life. Amen? It's Mark chapter 4, verse 16. It talks about the sower went to sow the word, right? And remember, there's four different types of soil. In this case, it says that the sower sowed seed into one with shallow ground, and immediately he received the word with what? Joy, but endured only for a short time because he had no root in himself. So when persecution came for the word, they were what? Offended. He or she was offended. So looking at this verse, it says that when they heard the word, they received it with joy. Mm-hmm. Which means they were what? What's another word for joy? You could, if just talking about what we were talking about, they were what?
Gratitude.
They were grateful. Demonstrated gratitude. Mm. How many of you, God's done something for you and you're so thankful? Oh, God, I'm going to serve you forever. I'll be in church, front row, at least no more than four rows. I'll be above the back roped off row. You know, I'll be ahead of that. But I want to be there for you, right? So, that was me. So I want to be there, Lord. I want to be there for you. So he says when he came, they had received the word with great joy. Great joy. It's another word for joy is what? Thankfulness. They had gratitude for what God had done for them. But if you keep reading, it says that, but they had no root in themselves, and when persecution or trouble came because of the word, or for the word, or for the sake of the word, or for trying to get the word out of your life, it says they became what? Offended. Now, interestingly here, you can't be an offended, joyful person at the same time. You can't be offended and holding a grudge and being bitter and joyful with gratitude at the same time. Yet they had joy, but it says they had no root in themselves. So I'm thinking, what root in themselves did they lose out on? Well, you know, if we look at the idea of being grateful, and being thankful. This is something that you and I purposefully have to cultivate in our life. And here, giving something back, you know, something happens in your life, it's not good, say something bad happened, okay, something bad happened, but I'm going to give God back something. I'm going to give him back praise. I'm going to give him back thanksgiving. Because if he got something to me the first time, he can get it back to me what? Again. But it's not dependent on all that stuff out there in the circumstance or the happenings. It's what's going on in my heart. Am I going to maintain a glad heart? So you notice here that the word was sown where? In his heart. Mm-hmm. And he received it with joy. Like, I'm so glad I'm saved. Right? Mm-hmm. People, young people are. Mm-hmm. You know, the sad thing is when someone first gets saved, they're all excited. Oh, Jesus saved me. And yeah, I give them a month, they'll die down. So. Just wait till they hit real life. And actually, they are in real life. It's you and I, say, that maybe have cooled down, not them. Because you were the same way. Then you got attacked and you let the word go. You let the joy slip and you let your gratitude shrink, right? So here, you know, it's important if we desire to receive more, then we should increase our gratitude and our thanksgiving to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That's kind of another way of saying giving of thanks. Mm-hmm. We should give thanks. Remember the Bible says give thanks with a cheerful heart. Why? Well, because if you give thanks, you're like, thanks. Thank you. You're probably not going to receive anything anymore, right? It says with a joyful heart, give thanks. Why?
Amen.
Because it's real.
Yes.
And if you have real gratitude, you will be joyful. Because mm-hmm. you know you didn't earn it. Somebody did something for you that you didn't earn. Because if you earned it, you don't need to say thank you. Amen? Mm-hmm. If you had to do it, or you earned it, then you don't need to say thank you for something you earned. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You don't have to be grateful for something you deserve. Because you deserve it. So when we're talking about gratefulness or talking about God's grace, mm-hmm. it's not something you could earn. That's why you display it. He gives it to you, mm-hmm. then he lets you share it relationally mm-hmm. to others. Mm-hmm. Right? All right, so I said this. Now this is a good point. If remember the first thing is how we express gratitude is through joy. Gratitude in action is giving back. And giving back, I thought it'd be good to talk about this for a moment. 2 Corinthians 9:7. It says this, each man should give, and we're talking about giving back, as he has decided in his or her heart. He should not give wishing he could keep it. Anybody ever done that? Like, you're just sad when it's going out? Whoa! Oh. Remember on those dollar bills, they go, where is George? And you look them up online, it's like, where's George Washington? You can track this dollar bill, see all the different places it's been, right? Some people do that, like, in their mind when they give to the Lord. They think, where did it go? It's probably gone. I'll never see it. Well, here, 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, don't be like that. Don't be wishing you could keep it. Or, this is what it said, or he should not give it if he feels he has to give. Mm. God loves a man who gives because he wants to give. This is the New Living Version. Cheerful and glad or with joy in the way he gives. Why? When you think of cheerful and glad or joy, you think because of gratefulness, because of thanksgiving. This is why I'm giving, because I'm grateful. Not because I feel like I have to be. Because if you feel like you have to be, then you're not grateful when you have to. Jesus willingly, it said, for the joy that was set before him.
Yes.
What does joy mean? If you look at joy, for the gratefulness mm-hmm. that was set before him, he endured the cross.
Yeah.
Why? Because of you.
Yeah.
He didn't go, oh, I gotta go to the cross. These people, you know how they are. Mm-hmm. Right? He didn't do that. For the joy, for the, he was grateful that he could go to the cross for you and I. So when we get to give to him, we should be what? Grateful for the privilege and opportunity to give. Not, you know, I've done a long time ago, I don't pay my tithes and bills at the same time. CPS, water bill, this bill, church bill, you know, Terminator bill, whatever, pesticide. I don't do that all in the same row. No, you got to separate that.
Yeah.
You pay your bills, you know, you take out your tithe, you worship the Lord. When you thank him that he's increasing you, that he gave you something.
Yes.
And then, you know, I'll tell you, one guy, let me tell you a story, since I'll just stop there real quick. It was an interesting story because, you know, sometimes, maybe you guys don't think about this, but you have people who go, God, I need God to help me financially or whatever. Because we deal with finances. And so a pastor friend was telling me this story. He says, so I'm praying with him. We're going to believe God for a miracle. The man says, please, God, get God's promises. He gets some joy, and he gets his answer, right? Now, that's why the Bible says, don't lose your joy. In other words, don't lose your gratefulness. Don't lose your thankfulness, because you need that. That's your strength to reap and hold on to what God wants to do in your life. You need some patience, right? So anyway, he says, he's like, man, God increased me. God increased him, and God blessed him. And he started driving two new cars. And he said, and going on vacations. He said, but you know what? He never gave anything more to the church. He's like, I can't afford it because I got to pay for my new car. You realize who got you the new car? It was God.
Yeah.
Who increased you? It was God.
Yeah.
That's real life story.
Yeah.
People do that quite frequently. Mm-hmm. They think, well, I want to have a testimony so I can show everybody how blessed God has made me. Well, no, it's not true. Remember, you fail to thank him, you're in pride. Because if gratitude's a reflection of your humility, what's the ungratefulness? It's a reflection of what? Your pride. Thinking it's all about you, and you did it. So we don't want to be like that. Amen? Amen? So here he says, what you give, you want to give joyfully. For God loves a cheerful giver. But, let me say it this way. Well, I'll save it for this. Here's another statement. 1 Peter 5:5 says this. Consider for a moment that gratitude being expressed is the form of humility. 1 Peter 5:5. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but he gives more grace to the humble. Right? What if we look in just at what we're talking about, one symptom of pride is ungratefulness or being unthankful, thinking it was all you. And he says, God resists that person. And what's grace? God's unmerited favor, something you didn't earn. So he says, God will resist the proud, but he'll give more grace to those who are what? Humble. Remember we said that gratitude is really, or humility is expressed through gratitude, because gratitude, when you're thanking somebody, you realize you're bringing yourself lower. You're recognizing what they did for you, right? James 4, verse 6 says the same thing, basically. It says he gives more grace, whereby he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble, or to the honest. You know, one thing about being humble, you're also honest. Because you know it wasn't you.
Yeah.
When you wake up in the morning, you woke up because he sustained you.
Yeah.
He got you up. He gets you up. Look at your neighbor and say, wake up, neighbor.
Wake up.
Don't sleep
wake
through up. This. Amen. He'll sustain you.
Yes.
He'll keep
yes.
you. He'll keep
yes.
you going.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
See, the idea of receiving more grace then is contingent upon your humility and
yeah.
your honesty. And one of the key components of the humility is through the expression of your thanksgiving to Him. So when you say, Lord, I need more grace, I need help with this, well, how are you going to get that help? How are you going to increase the grace? If He resists the proud, He'll give more grace to the humble, which is like saying He'll give more grace to those who are thankful and demonstrate gratitude toward Him. You know, you and I have so much to be thankful for.
Yes. Amen.
So much.
Yes.
Right? I mean, just waking up, you have so much to be thankful for.
So much.
And they said, studies have shown that, and you can probably know this from experience, but whether something good or bad happens to you, the effect of it on you only lasts 6 months. It's like, what does that mean? Well, if you won the lottery, you're happy, only 6 months. Then you go back to your former life. If something terrible happened to you, you're sad for basically only 6 months. Then you go back to, you adapt to it. So like, if, you know, something bad happened to you, whatever that might be, say you went bankrupt and you were depressed or sad, but that situation, the way you deal with it, is only going to last on average 6 months, and then you'll go back to being the same person you are. Just like if you won the lottery, you think, well, your problems are over, it's only going to last about 6 months. Just like, you know, when you see people get remarried and they don't last that long because they think that person would make them happy. And then they go, well, what happened to that person? No, it's just you. It's not the other person, it's you. Because you have these false expectations. You think, okay, my life's going to be great now. And it lasts, that feeling lasts about 6 months. And then you go through all the ups and downs, and then that relationship, if it's just based on physical relations or flesh, lasts 2 years. Amen?
Yeah.
It's true. Statistically. So here He gives more grace, whereby He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. So if I need something more from Him, what should I do? I should be giving thanks to Him. Luke 17. This is a great example. Luke 17, verses 12 to 19. I'll just kind of paraphrase it for you. It says that there was these 10 lepers. You remember the story?
Yeah.
And they came to Jesus.
Yeah.
And He heals them. Now, something about grace is not dependent on getting something back from the person you're giving something to. Like, say, I need your grace. You know, I want to give you something because then you owe me something. That's not God's idea of grace.
Mm.
Or being giving, right? Because what if you didn't have the capability, like we had no capability of giving God back anything in return of what He gave us, full level. Sometimes we give somebody something for their birthday because our birthday's close, and we hope that we get something back bigger than what we gave them. They say, look how kind I was to you. But you weren't really kind to them, you're just trying to get something for yourself. Because real love or grace gives without hoping for something in return.
That's good.
They're more thankful for the opportunity to what? To give than they are to receive.
Yeah.
So here's an example that this leper, this one leper, he wasn't the only one that was healed, but he came back and he did what? He gave thanks or gratitude for the Lord healing him. And in return, what did the Lord say? You have been made what? Whole. Now this is really key, because what we see here is this leper, and you know, that leprosy was a terrible disease.
Yeah.
But not only was it terrible in full-blown leprosy, but even if somebody had what they said was like eczema, you know, was it psoriasis or whatever, the skin, I'm not saying dandruff, nothing like that, but some kind of skin blemish, they were put all in that same category. So you think, that's not good. And they lost everything. They had no relationships with people, or they couldn't possess anything. No, they couldn't be in society. So when the 10 got healed, think about this. Nobody even gave him thanks. Except this one guy comes back and gives the Lord what? Thanks. And it says that at that time, he was made what?
Whole.
Now that whole isn't spiritually because he couldn't be born again.
Yeah.
But so whatever the leprosy was gone, but what it had ever impact on his body, whatever damage had been done, it was made whole. It was made right. From his, how did he get that? From his thankfulness.
Yeah.
From his giving of thanks. Secondly, we see this. Whole, I also see him being relationally restored, meaning he expressed gratitude and humility to other people for doing something for him that they didn't have to do. Mm-hmm. When nine others didn't even do that. Mm-hmm. They didn't even give thanks, or they didn't even demonstrate gratitude for what the Lord has done. But before we pick on those nine, right? Have we ever done that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lord has done something for us and we don't even say thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm his kid, he's supposed to. That's just how it rolls. You roll with me, I roll with God, I don't say thanks, I don't need you.
Hmm.
And that's not really the attitude we should possess, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, be in a constant mode of purposefully demonstrating or giving thanks. So first thing we saw, joy was what? It's joy, or the expression of gratitude is through joy. Secondly, give back part of what you receive, not just to God, which you could do, but to those around you, relationally.
Amen.
And you only give, you know, you give what you purpose in your heart,
yeah.
Not what you don't purpose in your heart. You don't give under pressure or compulsion, because then you're not a cheerful giver. You're not a happy, glad, hilarious giver, right? Amen?
Mm-hmm.
All right, third thing. Now, I was thinking about this. This will help us. This will be good. All right, gratitude, number three, gratitude receives.
Mm.
It accepts. So it says, we're supposed to receive the good that even someone bestows upon us without a sense of guilt or condemnation. Now here's my thought. You know how much we've been taught, give, 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 it'll make you feel good. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't say it wasn't blessed to receive. Well, how can we interpret it as a sad thing when somebody wants to do something for us, like, I don't need that. You don't have to do that for me. Well, they're just trying to demonstrate what? Their love for you.
Yeah.
Can't you receive it with joy? Does it always have to be hard? Okay. I feel guilty because somebody wants to do this for me. I don't need this. You didn't have to buy me lunch. I got money. You ever done that? You ever go buy, like, sometimes, I don't do it anymore because it's like I'm persecuted for it. But say you're waiting in line at Costco, and you go, I'm going to buy the person behind me. Whatever they order, I'm going to buy it. You just hope it's not the pizza. You know, it's like, can it just be a hot dog or a drink or something? A dollar or anything? But I remember one time, I would just say, I want to buy whatever they got. So just, I tell the person, just put it on together at the cashier. So one time this guy goes, you don't have to buy me anything. I said, no, I just want to. I want to express, I just want to buy it for you. He goes, no, I don't want you to. I said, I know. I just want to. He says, I don't want you to. I got money. I said, okay, fine. Buy it yourself. I'm not going to fight over this. Right? So I'm thinking, like, all right, well, you want to buy me something? Then buy me something. You know, if you want me to buy you something, you can buy me something. We'll get along. We'll be friends. But if it's wrong to receive or reap, if you feel guilty for it, then it's wrong to give. Because if you can give joyfully, you're supposed to give joyfully. Why couldn't you receive joyfully?
Praise God. Yes.
Because if it always brings some kind of negative connotation to receiving, which, you know, if you feel negative about it, then it's more pride because you're not grateful with a glad heart. Then why is it okay to give if in your giving it makes you feel good, but in somebody else's receiving it makes them feel bad?
Mm.
Does that make sense? If I'm going to give to you because I'm going to feel good, but it's going to make you feel bad, then that doesn't make me feel good. How can that be okay? Right? How can it be okay to give with so you feel, because it's more blessed to give than to receive, but it didn't say it wasn't okay to receive and be glad about it.
Yeah.
Like if somebody wanted to do something for you, why didn't you fight them over it? Why? He said, well, I was believing God. Well, maybe God wants to use them. No. Yeah. Please, not you. I want him to use someone else to bless me. I have this all worked out in my mind. I understand how it's supposed to go. So, should a person be able to receive something without feeling guilty?
Yes.
Okay. Because if it is a sin to give something to someone so you could feel good, and then they feel guilty, then you shouldn't give anything to anyone. If you're going to make them feel bad. So, what I'm saying is sometimes as a culture, we have to humble ourselves to receive.
Yes.
We have to say, I don't need you, but you do. Because if that's who God wants to use to bless you, why can't you receive? So when you look at gratitude, not only is it joyous, not only is it give back, but it also has to learn how to what?
Receive.
Because you're recognizing again, and it's easy to understand, God wants to do something for me because he's God. But he uses people. And, you know, I needed salvation, so I could receive my salvation with joy. Right? But then when I need something else, God is going to use people. So I have to be willing to be what? Joyful. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you do have to somewhat be blessed, but, you know, if somebody baked you a pie, said, no, I don't eat cherry. I eat apple. Oh, you missed it. You missed it. I don't receive that. You can't do that. Right? But you should be able to receive with the intent of, Lord, you blessed me with something now. Now, show me who I can bless with this too, or who I can be a blessing to.
Yes. Amen? Yes.
So also be ready to receive, not just be ready to, just to give, because the Bible says about what? Sowing and reaping.
Amen.
We know the scripture, Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given to you. So give what? Give whatever you want to receive, whether it's good or bad. But if you give so that it will be given, then you have to also be excited about getting just as much as you are about giving. I know the problem, though, because in church they're always talking about you giving, but you never getting, because they think you get on your own. Like, oh, you'll get it because you won't trust God. You just get things on your own. I'm just more concerned about you giving than you getting. Because you can get things, you just have to learn how to give things, which isn't true. The truth is, you got to learn how to what? Give and receive. That's why he says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed and shaken together, shall men give unto you. So we give back, and whatever we give, we also will receive. All right, three attitudes about gratitude. Here's what you have to know. Here's what I need to know. Life, this whole life, is about gratitude. The expression of our thanksgiving to God and to the others and what he's done for us. Amen. Secondly, gratitude is always a choice. We choose to be thankful or what? Unthankful. Mm-hmm. It's a choice. Number three, we possess everything required to be grateful right now. You have the ability to demonstrate gratefulness to others around you right now. So gratitude is not, this is just a thought, it's not about self, but it's about others. So I want to be sure that I'm not trying to be demonstrate gratitude for me so I can check it off my things to do list. Like, were you kind to someone today? Oh, I got to hurry up and go be kind. I don't want to do that. That's not what real gratitude is about. Amen? Mm-hmm. But we're trying to act in a benevolent, kind way to in building relationships with those around us and with the kingdom of God. All right, seven simple ways to demonstrate gratitude. Here we go. Remember I told you I would give you some things, how you can express this, right? So we know it exhibits itself with the characteristic of joy. It also gives back, and it also receives, those three things. So here's seven things about gratitude that we can demonstrate it with thanksgiving. Verbal acknowledgement, a simple thank you for doing that. That was so kind of you. right?
That's good. Yeah.
Verbally acknowledging. Even if someone, it's their job, you go into some place or what have you, just thank them for working hard. Thank them for being there. Thank them for doing something for you. Second thing, written affirmation. This could be a thank you card. Somebody gave you something, you could, if you didn't verbally thank them, you could write them a note. Thank you so much. And it's also nice if you wrote down maybe 10 things you'd be thankful to the Lord for on a list. I could think of 10 things for you that you could be thankful for, right? Everything, you know, may not be perfect in your life, but you got at least 10 things you could be thankful for. Amen? And one of those things would be at night, you could go over it, say, man, Lord, look what you did for me. You did this for me. You did that for me. Don't look at what didn't get done, right? That's not what you're thanking for what's not done. Just thank him for what he did do that you do know, right? Build up from there. All right, number three, develop an enough concept. Are we using contentment or competition? Am I content where I am? I can thank God for all the things he's done for me. I may not have the biggest or the best, but he's still done a lot for me. I can thank him for
that.
I can be content. I don't have to be satisfied, but I don't have to compete with what others are doing and keeping up with everybody else around me.
Right.
I can demonstrate contentment. Number four, here's one I like. Spend money on activities and not on things. Simply invest in people, not possessions. If you realize, it's okay to have the possessions, and it's okay to do things. But if you do things together as a family, you know, sometimes it's better. Like, I'll go to the park with my kids, and we'll play tag, and they'll never catch me. It's great. And it's free. It doesn't cost anything to do that. But invest in or spend money on people more than just possessions.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes getting people what they like, or you just know them, it's a blessing to them, right? Do activities together.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, number five, pray regularly with thanksgiving, Philippians 4:6. So when you pray, make sure you're thanking God for all the things he's done. Thank you, Lord, for answering that prayer. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, I got $2 in my pocket. Amen. You know, the Bible says that the believers, James said, that they took joyfully the spoiling of their goods. When they lost stuff, what did they do? They rejoiced. They gave God thanks. They'll get it back. They're not concerned.
Yeah.
Right? So when something happens to you, you don't get sad. You rejoice. You just say, thank you, Lord, that this is an opportunity that I get to trust you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're talking Mark 4 territory. You know what Mark 4 was? You get something, you get happy for a little bit, something happens to it, you get sad. And the Bible says that whole thing happened because they're trying to get God's word out of your heart. The enemy comes to steal your joy, get you sad, get your mind off being glad, get your mind off rejoicing, right? Uh-huh. When your mind's off of rejoicing and you're not glad, then you're what? Thinking all about you. Mm-hmm. That's not a good place to be. Right? Yeah. I don't want to be always thinking about me.
Yeah.
So when you're going through these trials or these tests, you realize, I'm supposed to be rejoicing here.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be glad. I'm supposed to have exceeding joy. Why? Exceeding joy means exceeding humility. Great humbleness. I'm so proud that I'm humble, right? And as you're doing that, what's going to happen? You get more grace to deal with the situation.
That's good. More patience to get the answer,
to get everything. Everything comes back.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen. All right, number six. Give heartfelt grace before every meal. Mm-hmm. Heartfelt.
Heartfelt.
That means not the, well, thank you for this food, ask us in Jesus' name. Amen. I was done. I didn't want the food to get cold. Right? So who are you talking to?
Yeah, right?
I pray, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For this food. Now, this food may not be the food I really want to eat, but it's something. And why can't I eat it? Am I that proud I couldn't eat it?
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Even if it's something that's not my choice. Sometimes he just would tell me, I'm talking to me, not you. I go, Lord, you know I don't normally eat that. So we're not talking about normally. Okay. If I die, I'll see you in a little bit. No problem. Amen. Okay, number seven. You guys will like this one. Attend church on a regular basis because it's a way that you demonstrate your gratitude to the Lord for what he's done
Amen.
For you.
Amen.
You know, just showing up because he told you to in his word. He said, don't forsake yourselves assembling together. Just showing up is key to him because it shows you, it shows him that you care enough about him that you show up. It's one way you're saying thank you with your life. Amen. It doesn't matter how you feel and all that. Because when you start demonstrating gratitude, then joy comes. And then you get to give, not only give back, but you also what? You get to receive from him. With no feeling of guilt or condemnation or anything. You just get to receive. So work on a couple of those things. There's one for each day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you just start with one.
Yeah.
Pray over your food in faith. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're going to get ready.